What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't
heard
nothing.
Oh, man.
And if you don't know,
watching the highlights of the lowlights of Dak Prescott's second interception last night, still trying to figure out how a 7-year veteran makes that throw. What the fuck? It was before the half, inside the 2-minute warning. You had just got a big fourth down conversion. It's 2nd and 2. What did he see when he tried to throw that ball to CeeDee Lamb? I don't understand. Now, there wasn't one guy there to intercept it, there were two. Still don't get it. That was a critical moment in that game because the Cowboys had a chance to drain the clock, maybe score a touchdown before the half, knowing they're getting the ball back coming out of half, or at least kick a field goal. You also were going to keep the Niners from getting the ball again before they ended the first half. And you throw that ball that gives them the chance to go kick a field goal before the half is over. I mean,
those guys went brain dead a couple of times. I mean, Dalton Schultz steps out of bounds. I mean, really.
Well, I mean,
you know, you got to get 2 feet in the. Come on, guys.
I understand when I say my biggest off-season conversation if I'm Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones about your quarterback, but all you got to do is go watch those moments. I mean, that's the critical moments of the game. End of the first half. Now the ball's in your hands with 3 minutes to go, down 7 in the fourth quarter. And you almost throw the same pass that is almost intercepted by Fred Warner, the All-Pro linebacker. You made the exact same read, and then you overthrew inaccurate pass to Michael Gallup, and then you took a sack. And that was 3 plays, and you were punting again, and essentially the game was over at that moment. And those are – if you're not having that conversation as a coach and a general manager, what are you doing? Those were pretty damn important moments, and that's what are we paying this guy to do? To execute highly in those moments, because that's what separates teams that win these games and lose these games. That's disappointing, and we'd said all last week, very even game, very even coaching staffs, and in the end, the Cowboys should have the advantage at quarterback.
Yeah,
did not yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the Dallas Cowboys way now. I mean, they just made critical errors. I mean, and those aren't just errors; they're critical errors. The Dalton Schultz one, the defensive holding.
Oh well, that's
down by the end zone there. I mean,
that was big too.
Number 6. I mean, he grabbed. I mean, he
that was Donovan Wilson.
I mean, grabbed the guy and grabbed Kittle and threw him on the ground. You can't do that. You're not going to get away with that 8 yards down the field where you grab a guy around the waist.
That led to the touchdown on the 91-yard touchdown drive. That was
91
big.
Yards.
Yeah, 10 plays, 91 yards. It included the great pass and kind of playground play to George Kittle.
Yeah, by the way, your defensive back has to make some kind of contact. He can't whiff that.
Yeah, I mean, he can't.
Whether you get a 15-yard penalty and the guy's head falls out off right there on the field – you can't not touch him.
Yeah, and if you see that play in replay, he whiffed it. I mean, you can't miss the play, Trayvon Diggs. I mean, I understand you're worried about getting 15-yard penalties and whatnot, but all you had to do was
make
put
some
your,
kind of contact.
Put your shoulder pad, but he turned his head. I mean, he ducked his head. We said this last week. Trayvon Diggs, a great cover corner. He likes to make interceptions.
And you said it on Friday, and I'm thinking,
but he doesn't like
to
tackle.
Guy, yeah, I said I've seen him come up and make some tackles for a little dude, but in that game. That was key. That guy could not make that catch. And if you made any contact, if your elbow hits him, he's going to drop that ball.
Yeah, he's trying to still corral it.
He had a bit of a letdown year all year, in my opinion. I mean, how many?
I think he's still a good player. I mean, one thing you do in these same meetings we're talking about is you have foundational players, right? Micah Parsons is a foundational player. You know, obviously Trayvon Diggs is a Pro Bowl corner. You Leighton Vander Esch looks like a guy you probably need to keep.
Yeah, Micah Parsons he had a good game. He didn't have to do anything spectacular in that football game.
Well, look, there'll be Cowboy fans who will argue, and I think there's a case for it. I don't think it will happen that, you know, McCarthy the ceiling's not high enough. Keep Dan Quinn. Don't let Dan Quinn leave. Keep him and let Mike McCarthy walk and keep this defense growing and bring in a young offensive coordinator or continue to groom Kellen Moore. I don't know. But, again, that's not going to happen. I don't think they're going to do anything with Dak. I'm just saying if it's me and I'm having these conversations about my team, that's – what I watched him, what Dak Prescott do at the end of, you know, within 3 minutes of both halves, very problematic.
I told you, it's never going to happen again.
I can't win with that player.
Trust me, he said it'll never happen again, Ty. Right?
I can't win with the player. I can't. So we have to do something about it. Now, somebody used to mention Tom Brady. You know, the one reason I really think Tom Brady, at his age, is going to Vegas, because remember, Byron Leftwich has been fired in Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
and they've already asked a bunch of teammates in Tampa, do you think Tom Brady would come back for the right offensive coordinator? And they're all saying no. He pretty much said goodbye to us. The one thing I'll say, at his age, he doesn't want to learn another whole new system at his age. And if he goes to Vegas, he knows Josh McDaniel.
Sure.
He knows the system. He knows the terminology. That's an easy transition for him to walk in. He also knows that they have good talent on offense, and they have Devontae Adams, and they have Darren Waller, and they have the leading rusher in the league in Josh Jacobs, who they have to re-sign. I get that. But, I mean, he's 46 years old. He doesn't want to go learn a whole new system again and teach it to the whole team. He's going to go to Josh McDaniel, play where he knows. You know, the playbook is he knows it back and forth. He played for the guy for double-digit years in New England. I think that is such the softest landing for him and the easiest transition
for
him and the best team. And it's Vegas. And he can rent out like a penthouse at the Bellagio, live in that thing. He's single now, you know.
Oh, that's right. What about the kids?
You see those rooms like at the top of Caesars, the top of Bellagio with the big windows? I'd be living up in that bad boy, doing the whole helipad thing.
Man.
Living the dream to Vegas. All right, so that's it. Here's some text. We appreciate your contributions here on the Show of the People. It says, guys, priorities this offseason, wide receiver,
yes.
Drafting another O-lineman, and finding another premier defensive coordinator. I think that's a really good list right there. That's a really good list because CeeDee Lamb proved a lot this year to me that he could be elite. I still think Jerry Jones in the front office made a terrible decision with the Amari Cooper situation. This team would have been a lot better with Amari Cooper on it this year than without him. I still don't know why they traded him and they didn't replace him, which is really silly. At the end of the year, Cowboy fans were clamoring for more T.Y. Hilton. Well, how about more Amari Cooper? Why'd you trade him? That was dumb. But now you got to make up for it, and you probably need to draft a wide receiver. Also, who's the receiver, T.Y., they took in the third round?
Jalen Tolbert.
Who looks terrible.
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to be cut.
Doesn't look like he's going to pan out Jalen Tolbert in the third round. You need to find a receiver. Unless Buck, you think Michael Gallup is going
to... Yeah, I mean, with an off season, with a full off season, I think he's still... He never got to being okay. You know,
can't
he had
be Noah
stretch.
Brown, though.
Come on, you got to be able to beat Noah Brown out.
Well, and there are some mock drafts that suggest...
Noah Brown plays a lot more
Cowboys,
than he does.
Cowboys will have the 26th pick in the draft. I've seen some mock drafts that would suggest that TCU wide receiver Quentin Johnston would be there around that time. Is that a guy that would...
They need another tall guy?
No. No?
That guy's going to be a bust.
No! What do you mean? Out of Temple, Texas?
No, I just don't think you go. You need somebody with some speed.
Go get a corner that can play.
Ooh. But aren't you going to get healthy at corner?
No. It's still Anthony Brown. He was the biggest issue on the defense before he got hurt.
I can't watch that game yesterday and tell me I got to go add more defense.
Yeah,
I got to get offensive weaponry. If this is
going
to be
another
my
inside linebacker, because Van Der Esch is going to get hurt during some time of the season.
You see this defense? I'm not saying you can't go after those things. I'm talking about priorities. Did you see this defense stand on its head yesterday for three quarters? I mean, they were tremendous yesterday against a very good offense. I need offensive weaponry. I shouldn't have traded Amari Cooper in the first place, but now
I should have never paid Michael Gallup the kind of money that he got.
He's not. I mean, it's like $10 to $13 million.
Every issue I see with the Cowboys right now is offensively rated. I mean, they scored 3 points in the second.
Against the best defense in the NFL.
Who everybody last week said they're going to be fine.
What, the Cowboys
yes,
against them?
Yes.
Well,
didn't we say last week that 17 points won't be enough in this game, which is what they scored last year in this game? 17 points won't be enough. It wasn't. You've got to add to the offense. And, by the way, let's not forget you're dealing with the Tony Pollard situation. He's a free agent. You got Zeke's contract to deal with. The only sure thing you have on offense, because Dalton Schultz was your franchise player this year. He needs to be re-signed.
Yes, he does.
I don't want them to bring him back.
Well, then who are you bringing in?
You can't spend the money that Dalton Schultz wants. He cannot block. Oh. He is so bad at blocking.
Well, but you know that.
You have two young tight ends ready to go.
Those guys aren't going to catch the ball like Dalton
Schultz.
You
can cut Zeke and you save $8 million off the $11 million dead cap.
I'm not – hey, but those two sluggos that are blocking tight ends – I'm not getting rid of Dalton Schultz in my – he's too important to their offense.
Well, look, I understand people are going to text here and point out that, hey, they were the second highest scoring team in the league. They scored more points than anybody in the NFC, which is true. But what games matter? What moments in the season matter most? These right here, January, divisional playoffs. Cowboys haven't gotten past it in seven tries. And it was about the offense yesterday. It was about the offense last year in this game against San Francisco. And you guys are saying you're going to allow Dalton Schultz to leave?
No, I can't let him leave.
It's too much money for a guy that's one-dimensional.
Well, listen to what you're saying. You're going to allow Dalton Schultz to walk. You're not sure what to do with Zeke or Tony Pollard, and you want to draft a corner?
Yes, get rid of Zeke.
I mean, what are you doing?
Let Dalton Schultz walk.
What are you doing on offense?
You got to prioritize, like, balance.
Yeah, when you say let go of Zeke, I can do that, and I'll sleep well at night.
Or just restructure his contract. Give some of that money to Pollard. But Dalton Schultz is going to be asking for too much money.
And don't worry about a hairline fracture, that kind of injury.
All right, so what I'm hearing is a wide receiver core that is CD, Gallup, throwing the Peyton Hender shot.
He's a tight end.
I know.
That guy's not even in the same.
Where's Pollard? Is he coming back or is he going to go cash in on the big market?
He's coming back.
I got to think there'll be a market for him. Are you franchise tagging him? Is that what you're doing?
No.
Okay. Well, then how are you getting him to not?
$8 to $9 million a year will get him back.
Okay. He'll be in Philly
then. Look, okay. I'll play.
How's that? How's that go along with him?
I'll play
in Philly.
Tony Pollard's agent on the radio. Why, if you're not going to franchise tag me, why would I agree to a contract? Why wouldn't I get to the free agent market and see what a pay?
And go play in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts.
Well, I mean, if at any point Tony Pollard's agent allows him to sign before they get to free agency, you're not doing your job. Why wouldn't you want 32 teams?
And we're not talking
bidding
about
for your services.
We're not talking about an ACL tear. We're talking about
a broken leg.
A little broken leg.
Yeah, but he's still not a guy that's proven that he can be the featured back.
Well, no, but I'm just saying.
For 17 weeks.
But your job as the agent would be to, hey, Tony, let's not agree to a new hometown discount deal here with the Cowboys. Let's see what the market will bear.
What if that backfires, though, and he doesn't get what he's expecting or what y'all expect?
Well, I'd rather go that route than sign a hometown discount deal. As you're saying, restructure Zeke's contract and give him some of that. I would find out what all the 31 other teams think of me first. And I think there's a lot of people who think highly of Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I do too. I don't like letting him get loose.
But at this point, unless they use the tag on him, much like Dalton Schultz last year, I don't know that they can keep him. And if he won't sign before March, then you can't keep him off the market. That will become a problem.
Well, another thing with the whole Dalton Schultz scenario, remember Blake Jarwin, what happened with him, giving him a contract, instantly gets hurt, wasn't really ever a top-flight tight end, but we gave him like $8 million a year. I could see that happening again with Dalton
Schultz. Well, if your quarterback isn't going anywhere, that's his security blanket. They score a lot of points because of that dude.
But anybody can run these little stop, you know, run block,
anybody
pass block.
I don't think so.
They're nothing. I don't know. I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and nothing Dalton Schultz does jumps off the page to me.
His casual way on that
top three paid tight end.
Yeah, that maneuver out of bounds wasn't good. But you know that guy's been pretty consistent.
He is. But again,
I know he can't run block. I know we know what he can't do.
And he's hurt constantly.
Okay, all I can tell y'all is if you're going to have this quarterback, you have to have more weapons, not less.
Yes, I think Jake Ferguson.
You guys are arguing for less and drafting a cornerback.
Yes.
Well, I don't want a cornerback. I want more weapons on offense.
I don't.
Oh, man. Give me the headlines. Let's hit these real quick. We know that the Final Four is set in the NFL, Bengals, Chiefs in the AFC, Eagles, Niners in the NFC. But let's get to the other stories of the day. Top Gun Equipment Rentals brings it to you. We'll start with the Longhorn side of things. And, yeah, the Longhorns, if you missed it on Saturday, added another big addition through the transfer portal when former Georgia wide receiver A.D. Mitchell officially committed to the Horns. He is enrolled and will be in school at Texas here in the spring and be a junior next year for the Longhorns. 6'4", 195-pounder, started on the outside for the Bulldogs each of the past two seasons on their run to back-to-back national championships. Winning weekend for the Longhorns in hoops as well. Texas men survived a rough first half in Morgantown to take and pull away in the second half. They beat West Virginia 69-61 on Saturday. Marcus Carr was a big catalyst. He scored 19 of his 23 in that second half. Horns now 16-3 overall, 5-2 in Big 12 play. They'll be back hosting Oklahoma State tomorrow night at Moody Center. Texas women, good performance yesterday. They went up to Waco and beat Baylor. Suffocated them in the fourth quarter, 68-55. They held Baylor without a point in the last 4 minutes of that game. Vic Schaefer's team also 14-6 and 5-2 in Big 12 play. One upset in college basketball yesterday. The top-ranked team in the land, the Houston Cougars, lost at home to Temple. Down go the Cougars. There'll be a reshuffling at the top now. That happened in Houston.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start 2023 off right and save money on last year's Steel, Toro, and Hustler equipment still in stock this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
So you saw the Bengals yesterday, right, Buck?
Yes.
So here's what I'm saying if I'm Jerry Jones, and I know I don't speak for Jerry Jones, but that quarterback throwing to those receivers with that defense, that's what you have to beat to win the Super Bowl. We realize this, right?
I believe so.
I mean, that is the level. And you'll see Kansas City, that quarterback throwing to those receivers, that can I give an unbelievable good? I think the Jacksonville-Kansas City game had the least storylines to it outside of the Mahomes injury. But can I mention Travis Kelce? I mean, we were talking last week about greatest tight ends of all time, right, and where he's going to rank when it's all said and done. Do you realize in his last seven playoff games, Travis Kelce has caught 75 passes.
Two caught 14 this weekend.
75 passes for over 700 yards and 14 touchdowns. In his last seven playoff games, this guy's ridiculous. I mean, this is kind of the point to what the Cowboys don't have. I mean, everybody on the field knows that he's looking for him, right? Yet he still gets open. He still gets schemed open by the coach, and that's incredible. I mean, if you're in Jacksonville and you're the defensive coordinator, it's your first meeting on Tuesday. Say, okay, we got to stop 87. Kelce can't beat us.
All day. How did he catch 14 if that's the guy to stop?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, man.
14 catches.
That's Hall of Fame stuff. I mean, because he was the goal. And yet, through scheme. And even when Patrick Mahomes went out, Chad Henne, what did he do?
He's the guy.
Let me find 87.
And it's not like there's another guy like Tyreek Hill on that offense that you also have to look out for anymore. So it's even more impressive this year that he's been able to do it with even more focus.
And I think when I'm watching what you're seeing too, Buck, and I will give you huge credit. You were spot on with the Buccaneers. You had the Cowboys by 10 or more, and they won it by 10 or more. You had the Niners here. I was with you on both, but you were spot on. And you also, if I remember right, when the playoffs began, your lean was 49ers-Bengals for the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And we're still – we're 3 weekends in now, 2 weekends in.
That is going to be a classic matchup between the 49ers and the Eagles. But I think Jalen Hurts is going to run the ball. You got an extra run. He's running the ball this week. He wants to get to the Super Bowl, so he's going to run. And he's going to run, and he's going to run and lower that shoulder and do everything he can to get to the – There's not. I mean, I saw him slide a couple times the other day. I also saw him lower his shoulder down for a first down.
Did you see how easy they made that look that game? They scored 28-0. It could have been 48-0 if they wanted to, right?
They knew everything about the Giants.
Yes.
Where every defensive player was going to be. Now, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, I don't know if they're going to do that 5 times in a row.
Joe Burrow's beat him 3 straight.
Is it 3 or 4?
3.
Well, if he's like. That leg, that deal there is, he's going to be limped up. He's not going to beat Cincinnati on a half a leg.
No.
I mean, with mm-hmm. a one leg. He's not going to be able to beat
them. Well, and his mobility, his ability to make those off-schedule plays are really what makes them unstoppable offensively. In the pocket, he's great. He's elite. But when he can move and, we saw on the first drive, right, when they went down the field and scored, he ran option. He ran through a jump pass.
Yeah, I thought they had at least 40-some points in them that game.
He threw one of those little sidearm shortstop plays for a first down. Now, if he's hurt and he can't plant properly, then all of a sudden those ad lib off schedule roll, moving plays they're limited. And Joe Burrow, this is what you guys just said about when Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were together made the Chiefs unstoppable. That's kind of what the Bengals are. I mean, when Jamar Chase is healthy and they have T. Higgins and they have Tyler Boyd
and the two running backs.
And you have Samaje Perine and
Joe Mixon.
Well, because, the comparison to the Chiefs is that T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are both number one receivers.
Yes.
And Jamar Chase is doing things like Randy Moss when he first came into this league. So you have Randy Moss on one side and then a legitimate number one receiver on the other side. There are no teams in the NFL that can deal with that with their secondary. And then you throw in that they – because, by the way, in this game in the snow yesterday, which – Burrow didn't seem to bother him that it was snowing out. Let's just be really comfortable. They ran the ball for 172 yards against a pretty good Bills defense. So
they did that with linemen hurt. Their best linemen aren't playing for them.
Yeah. Well, and they also had, yeah, they had three of their five injured offensive linemen. And after the game, Joe Burrow was asked about it. He said, look, I'm not going to be cocky about it, but I think we're better everywhere than we were 1 year ago and we were in the Super Bowl. We're better offensively. We're better defensively. Our special teams is better. What they did yesterday didn't surprise them. And that's really what's kind of cool about the Bengals. They expect to win. They won't. The DeMar Hamlin game, they were going to win that game going away too. And they'd be on an 11-game win streak right now. So, like what they do. By the way, I said Kelce had 14 touchdowns in the last seven playoff games. It's 10. He has 10, sorry.
Yeah, 14 catches in the game.
Yeah, but listen to these numbers. Last seven playoff games for number 87 for the Chiefs. 14, 98, and 2. 10, 95, and 1. 8, 96, and 1. 10, 133, and 0. 13, 118, and 2. I mean, he's just ridiculous, this Travis Kelce. He's the greatest tight end I've ever seen.
Oh, it will be. He will be.
He's the most impactful player at that position. Sure. Gronk gets a lot of love, and he should, because he was Tom Brady's security blanket for so long. And the 1 year that he played alongside the mass murderer Aaron Hernandez.
The mass murderer.
Remember that year those two were together?
Oh, my God.
They were unstoppable. That offense was unstoppable.
Some say Aaron Hernandez would have maybe ended up being better than Gronk. Because what, was he like 24, 25 that year?
As a kid,
that dude
he's a baby.
He would get down the field and make catches like wide receivers.
Yeah, he might have if he hadn't become a killer.
If he wasn't a murderer.
Like Frank Lucas level murderer.
Really?
Yeah, well, he went awry, apparently.
That's why you got to have Dalton Schultz. If that quarterback's staying, Dalton Schultz has to stay.
No.
Yes, you have to pay him.
I agree that they'll probably re-sign him, but it's going to end up being a mistake down the line. You can get a guy. You already have a guy on your roster that can do exactly what he does on a rookie contract.
Do we now all agree that trading Amari Cooper below market value was a bad idea?
Yes. But also, if you were still on that, that's $26, $27 million a year that you were going to have to pay for another 3 years. And they absolutely have no room for that this year or moving forward.
Well,
I know he's not getting rid of the quarterback, but what do you say goodbye to Zeke?
No, he likes him too much.
I mean, it's got the like thing's got to be over with by now, right? The guy's running like Red Grange. I mean, Ezekiel Red Grange.
I think
Elliott,
this is the
really?
Offseason that they make a big splash, though. They never
with
do.
The running back?
I think they trade their first-round pick. I don't know if it's offense or defense, but just get another big-name star player that can make an immediate impact.
Okay. They need more weapons, not less. We agree with that, correct?
Yes.
On offense?
Yes.
And here's the thing. I know it sounds like shock jock radio to say they need to have the conversation about Dak, but with 3 minutes to go and the ball and three timeouts in a seven-point game, how many of us were confident that Dak was going to take them down the field and score a touchdown?
I wasn't. I was waiting for him to throw his third pick.
Nobody was.
He almost did on the first play.
He almost did on the first play. He lasted all of three plays.
Would you have gone for it there?
I would have considered it. Because I felt like once they punted, I felt like after Dak threw the pick, or he threw the pick, like if Fred Warner just catches the ball, hit him right in the chest, right through the five and a four.
I can't believe these running backs don't know to – he goes tiptoeing out of bounds. I'm like, did you just really get a first down? And you were way past the marker, but did you actually tiptoe out of bounds when you could have just fallen right past the marker, stayed in, the clock keeps on going. They've got to use up all their timeouts, but you actually thought it was good to go over to the Gatorade deal?
Well, yes. Well, let me say this on Dak. After he almost threw he did throw the pick on first down that got dropped. At that point, to your question, Ty, I would have, if I'm Kellen Moore, I'm thinking we're going for it on fourth down, so we got to get 5 yards, 5 yards, and maybe go for it again. We got to get Dak back into some kind of you can't punt the ball there, I guess is what I'm saying. And that's why the deep shot to Gallup on the next play, one of only three times you threw it to him the whole game.
It was there. It was there. He was open.
Play of the game is the last play.
But what happened there was
– it's the best play of the game. When did they draw that up at practice? You know how Kansas City draws up plays? Who thought of that one right there when Zeke snapping?
That was Mike in the basement a few years ago.
Was that really – is that when he was in the Barney? Yeah. Was that one of those barn plays? And as he said, I have, I, have, I, don't, I kind of recall it in the game, but I've watched it a couple times where Zeke, he got blown up. I don't think that was a linebacker or a defensive lineman.
Let's go ahead and get rid of that one.
Yeah, let's ever see that again.
But look, that was a Hail Mary play.
I got it, but
the game was decided with the drive before, and that's what needed to be at a higher level. That was game time. That was destiny or legacy kind of creating moments. And Dak not only didn't execute it, he fell completely flat. And you lasted three plays. And the first two plays were so bad, you didn't even have an option to go for it on fourth down because it was fourth and 10.
As soon as they scored a touchdown,
terrible quarterback
and
play.
The kicker came in and hit the Whirly Bird, it was the game's over.
We'll be back.
Since Whirly Bird guy came in.
B&E with you. Longhorns. We did some Longhorns coming up. What their weekend was like. Junior weekend was here. All the top prospects were in town. We'll get you details on that. Also, the Cowboys season comes to an end. 19-12, the final. On the road at San Francisco yesterday, Final Four set in the NFL. Before the end of the hour, you know what's coming. I'm sure it's going to be an ornery blitz this morning. A lot of Cowboy fans will be weighing in. What say you? 447-3776. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. It's a busy Monday, disappointing Monday if you're a disappointing Monday for the Texas Longhorns, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get to the Longhorns coming up, but yes, a disappointing but familiar ending to the Cowboys season. Not good, Buck. But
no,
Eagles night. We said it earlier, but I think it's
Brock Purdy just beat you
and outplayed your quarterback.
Mr. Irrelevant just beat your team.
But I think the bigger headline is he outplayed your quarterback. It's one thing if the Niners had won the game because the defense gave up some big plays, or Christian McCaffrey ran wild, or Deebo Samuel got off. None of that happened. And he actually outplayed your quarterback, who is your franchise quarterback. He's their third string quarterback. That's beyond concerning. Now, he may end up being the starter there for the long haul. Who knows? He's garnering Joe Montana comparisons in
I kept hearing this.
The Bay Area.
When is it going to happen? Purdy's never played anybody like this. It's going to happen. He's a rookie. It's going to happen this week. No, it's not.
I mean, he didn't play good.
What do you mean he didn't play good?
He didn't do anything to win that game. It was all one within the system and with defense.
He played better than the other quarterback did.
Yeah.
Right?
But Dak played to lose the game.
Well, now here's where I disagree with you. When your team is 7-14 on third down, when you don't turn the ball over, a turnoverless game, I mean, I think that's what your job is as the quarterback. Now, look, you could have a Joe Burrow-like game where you put up huge numbers in a playoff game, but the game didn't call for that.
Well, what happens when they do play a quarterback like that and you do have to go in the fourth quarter and actually win a game?
Well, they may find that out this week, and that may be our first chance.
You're right.
Because Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are really, really good, and Jalen Hurts is greater than Dak Prescott. So we'll see. But as far as he didn't play good, I thought he played great yesterday.
I mean, I think he played good. I'm just saying he didn't do anything to lose the game, and that's the best thing he did yesterday.
Well, and yes, and that's
part of being a good quarterback to me.
And that would be the
point.
Don't
screw it up when you have others around you to
I'm just saying I think opinions of Brock Purdy might change when it comes down to him having to go with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and actually win a game and make those throws where they know he's throwing and they're not playing off play action every single play.
The dude had like a 91-yard drive.
I'm not saying he's bad, and I am a little upset, but it's in the first half he didn't look great when they had a lot of pressure under him.
Well, no, I mean, I think he is a rookie quarterback,
and eventually he is going to make some mistakes, but so far.
And to your point, I think you're right that we'll really see the makeup of Brock Purdy if they do have to come from behind. Because, again, go back to this Kyle Shanahan 12-game win streak. They haven't had more than one turnover in any of those games. They have an elite defense. They play to it. They have elite playmakers who they get the ball to in smart ways. But, yes.
And systems fit quarterbacks.
Correct. And he executes the system.
Right.
But to Ty's point, where I disagree with him, I thought he played really well yesterday, Brock Purdy, because he did everything he was supposed to do and nothing he wasn't supposed to do. If the Cowboys quarterback had done the same with the elite defense that they have, They might have won the ball game because his two interceptions were 9 points in the game and at critical moments. Can't do that. But to his point, Philadelphia likes to jump out to big leads. Philadelphia likes to play with the lead. And you know their first quarter, second quarter, as good as anybody's. What if he does get down 10 points on the road?
Or can he bring you back? I don't know.
Well, that's the unknown. And look, for him, this is a huge step up in class. I mean, my argument all last week was that the Vikings and Cowboys are stepping up in class. The Giants and the Cowboys, because the Giants beat a bad Vikings team. I know they had double-digit wins, but we all saw them all year long. They were a paper tiger, and they were poorly prepared for that game.
And they were playing a team that beat them twice.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Cowboys, what they've got to play on Monday night was some version of the Buccaneers. But you're taking a big step up in class, and they both end up losing. Ugly for the Cowboys, really ugly for the Giants. Well, this week, Brock Purdy's taking a big step up in class. I really believe that. As far as the other quarterback he has to go head-to-head with, and I know quarterbacks don't go head-to-head, but to Ty's point, you know, what happens when you are down 10 points in the second half of a game? Can he execute those big throws and bring a comeback? They haven't had to yet. That's going to be the challenge for him. But look, I mean, he's into the rarefied air where you're playing against the three best quarterbacks in the league this year.
Right.
Jalen Hurts still has to prove it over a series of years now. But for this season, the three best quarterbacks in this league are Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. And they're still left, and so is he. So this is the company he's now hanging out in. That's pretty impressive. And the most concerning part for the Cowboys is that your seven-year veteran quarterback who's your face of your franchise was much lesser than Brock Purdy yesterday.
Yeah, and what did the Cowboys take away from Purdy yesterday? They didn't take the slant away. They didn't take the middle of the field away because he kept throwing them in there, darts in there, and guys are making plays. You know, I mean, as good as Dan Quinn was, they had plays that were open in the middle of the field, and Brock Purdy made them happen.
Well, and then the throw to Kittle that we all know Trayvon Diggs should have broken that play up.
For sure.
Done more to try to, separate him from the ball. That was a great play. I mean, he rolled. That wasn't a design play. He made eye contact with Kittle and said, get it. That was a playground play. And that was a huge play on a 91-yard drive that ended up changing the face of the game.
Now, he didn't spend all day throwing outside the numbers from the hash to the numbers. He just knew there was something in the middle of the field, and he made that happen in the middle of the field.
He did. Can we dive into a flex segment real quick? Brittany, some breaking news on the flex front. Got to hit that for you before we get to the Craig Way Report, Gossip, and your Blitz.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
All right, so here we go, Buck. Here's the breaking Flex news. FLXATX.com. I'm sure we'll have a big story on this coming up, but Austin LBJ head coach Jamal Fenner, who led the Jaguar program to a 49-13 record in the past five seasons, has stepped down this morning, resigning his post as the head Jaguar. And again, this resignation not totally unexpected, because we have told you here in the last week or so, and our friends over at Inside Texas and others have reported that Fenner has been recently linked by multiple folks is to become the new director of high school relations at the University of Texas under Steve Sarkisian. Remember, Chris Gilbert had that role. He took a job on the staff at North Texas, wanted to become a coach, assistant head coach, tight ends coach there at UNT. Well, now Jamal Fenner looks like he could be on his way to the 40 Acres, Buck. Won't have to go far.
Don't have to move.
But now this is in motion. We were waiting on the timing of this. I know for university, the position had to be posted for whatever the certain number of days are, and Jamal Fenner was employed by AISD, so obviously he has stepped aside from that role.
Good job by Coach.
That's great for him, right?
It is great for him, yeah. It's great for his career.
And a huge step. Huge step. He's done a great job at LBJ and got them to within one game of a state championship two seasons ago. Last year, they were, again, pretty good in deep playoff run. And this is a big step. And what are your thoughts on it from the Sark side of things, Buck, to add, you know, your director of high school relations? This is big, well, not just for Central Texas, but across the state.
Yeah, but he knows enough about the Central Texas area. But also, his team has been playing all over the state now. So he knows these coaches. They have a lot of respect for Jamal, which is, I think, is fantastic. And now you got a guy who's homegrown right here. You know what I'm saying, E?
Yes.
I mean, that's the awesome part. Now, he's going to get somebody else to get to that Fort Worth area, I got to believe. I don't think Sark is done when it comes to that aspect of the recruiting part of it. But that to have a guy who's local right here, that's fantastic. A lot of respect for Jamal Fenner. He's a good man.
Well, eager to see that if there's a second hire, too, because there's been talk that there are going to be two people hired into this role of the high school relations director or co-directors, and that they're because one thing they would like to increase is their ability to recruit the city of Houston and greater Houston. They've really done well in Dallas. I mean, they've got a great foot in Dallas. Chris Gilbert was big in that. Gary Patterson, I think, helps with that. With what he, you know, his Gary Patterson knows every high school coach in this state big time for all of his work at TCU over the decades.
Yeah, Jamal's one of those kind of guys you want around your program, too.
Very positive guy.
Yes.
And you talk about it all the time, Buck, pitching your tent and camping out. I mean, want to keep the best players in your area if
for
you can.
Sure.
And Jamal can help with that, I have to think, as well. And to go east of 35 and bring in a coach from LBJ, I think says a lot that what Sark's looking for in that role. So now that hadn't officially happened yet. All we're reporting and telling you, because it's officially happened, that Jamal Fenner has resigned as the head football coach at LBJ, which means LBJ needs a new head coach. And we'll certainly follow that.
Find a young guy for that job.
Fenner, a former cornerback. He played at Austin Reagan, played for Coach Andrew Jackson at Reagan in his high school days, played at UTEP, and, of course, in the Arena Football League. So if that does come to fruition, congratulations there. Also told you it was a big junior weekend for the Longhorns. They had a bunch of top prospects in for the future classes, 24 and 25, recruiting-wise, and by all accounts, went very well. They made some offers. We'll get an update as the week goes on of, you know, because those things just wrapped up.
And yeah. We'll get by the way, a number of those quarterbacks that played this weekend have played against Texas and beat Texas when they were in college,
right?
All of them?
All of them, yes.
Every single one of them?
Yes. Purdy beat us. Patrick Mahomes beat us. Joe Burrow beat us. And who's the last one?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we told you, it was up until 4 years ago, a Big 12 quarterback had never won a playoff game in the NFL. Well, that's obviously changed now. And three of the four teams playing to go to the Super Bowl were Big 12 quarterbacks. And Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, who wrapped up at Oklahoma, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes, starred at Texas Tech. Joe Burrow went to LSU and was pretty damn good.
How is that possible that there was not a Big 12 quarterback that ever won a playoff game? That's insane. What is it? That's like 25 years of quarterbacks?
Man.
Yeah, for sure. Well, 1996, the first Big 12 championship, you have the ring or you lost the ring.
You lost your ring?
Yes. I don't know where my ring is gone. Yes.
How recently was that?
That was two summers ago.
He was gardening or something.
No, I wasn't. I was doing something with my golf clubs.
Need me to get out there with a metal detector?
I may have left it in a golf cart somewhere.
All right. Let's get to your blitz. Load it up. 447-3776. And I'll tell you this. Salacious Gossip is coming, and it's National Pie Day. National Pie Day. Why do I have to say that right before the blitz? We're coming back.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip. Brought to you by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. Safe and smart, but always with the ice-cold Bud Lights. And needed it for the Cowboys game yesterday. And probably had a couple afterwards thinking, who drew up that last play?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a Mike McCarthy play?
I guarantee you Zeke didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, that did not work. Game was well lost by then, though. Cowboys, have a nice cold Bud Light. But also the other games, there were four of them. We have four teams remaining, and two of them will play in the Super Bowl. And, of course, all of your Super Bowl fun and Championship Sunday will be highlighted by the Bud Lights. The official beer of the Texas Longhorns, the Texas Aces, and the Texas OU game. It's also brewed right here, deep in the heart. Brewed by Texans, for Texans. Dang proud of it. The number one selling light beer in this state, in this country, and all over the darn world. Okay, so Salacious Gossip, Buck. I saw where a couple things. Skip Bayless threw his Dak Prescott jersey in the trash on video. So I'm sure they'll be talking about that this morning.
Yep.
Dak Prescott, he'd been a longtime supporter of Dak. I guess he's officially throwing the jersey away.
There it is.
But did you see that Skip has a show on Fox, I believe it is, where he's with Shannon Sharp?
Undisputed.
So, like, Shannon Sharp almost got in a fight with the Memphis Grizzlies on Friday night.
No, John Morant's dad.
Well, it started with Dylan Brooks and some of the Memphis players. Like, they were playing in L.A.
He's courtside.
He's courtside, and apparently Shannon said something to Dylan Brooks, the young player in Memphis, that you're too small to guard LeBron or something along those lines.
He did, yes.
And so Dylan Brooks said something to him. That led to, and the quote from Shannon Sharpe was pretty good. He's like, hey, they don't want this smoke. They don't be wanting, they don't want this. Then said, John Morant's dad stepped in.
They don't want this problem.
None of them wanted this problem.
Yeah.
All right, so Shannon Sharpe.
So after all that talk, he said none of them wanted that problem.
And I will point this out. I appreciate everybody listens to our show every morning, and I'm for everybody doing well. But if you then turn around and watch that show this morning, mission accomplished by them.
Exactly.
Please don't. Please don't. You know that's all staged and all planned. And because he was back in the game, in the stands the second half, and everybody was good. He's chummy with dad. That's all for, we know what that's for.
For the show.
How about this? I like these little pieces of news before we get to the headlines, or until we get to your blitz. Random facts. You know what the most used seven-letter English word is? Most used seven-letter English word?
D's.
D's. No, that's only four.
Nuts.
Between. Between. Because they can now monitor these things, you know. Most used eight-letter word? Children. Children, and the most used nine-letter word in the English language is? Different. Different. There you go. See? You want a bar bet with that or
there
something.
There you go. It's going to do something for your day.
Between children and different, 7, 8, and 9. And yes, the most used three-letter word on this show is D's.
D's, that's right.
Let's go to D's Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
You know, I did feel it for the Cowboys versus Tampa Bay, though. I did have that feeling.
And first, you had it for the Niners.
I did. Next Blitz, first Blitzer, you're up.
It would have been nice to see E. Hogan walk to Dallas. This is OU Mark.
Thank you, OU Mark, who's
23 years
Norman,
and counting.
Oklahoma.
Will it ever happen?
Next year. Next year's the year.
Okay.
I'm feeling it for the Cowboys.
Next year.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, yeah, Bucky. You know, all these Cowboys fans, they can come away with some consolation. At least a new football term has been invented. From now on, any time a player is going to get run over by another player, the coach is going to look at him and say, son, you just got Zeke.
Got Zeke, boy, Zeke got hit
Or
hard.
Whenever someone whiffs on a tackle, we call it, you got Trayvon.
Wow.
Or digged.
You got digged. Wow. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, is it fair to say without a David Robinson or a Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich is a very below average coach?
No.
Nah.
Player, it's a players league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got to have players.
Got to have the right players.
You also have to have a coach.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, you go back over all the losses that Dallas had this season. It all comes down to a critical injury. They don't have a supporting staff. Where is your third running back? And if your tight end is covered, you're the quarterback. You run. If you don't want to run, get you a running back. Here comes Derrick Henry.
Oh, come on.
Blame the general manager.
Every position doesn't need three players. That doesn't work. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, man, I have nothing. This is the last play.
It's the last play of the game. No way. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, the Bengals just did to the Bills what Joe Mixon did to his girlfriend.
Oh, jeez. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey.
Yes.
Don't worry. By the time the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, you'll be in some geriatrics ward eating oatmeal.
Maybe a wheelchair to Dallas.
Wow. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Can I get one of those electric ones?
Hey, Dak Prescott. You know, I could tell the opening on that interception better than you could. Put me in.
Wow, Sean. Man, oh, man. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Put me in. We didn't need Dak to get
Jared
the
Jones, vision. We're glad you're sick. How do you think every cowboy who watched the glory days in the 90s feels for when you screwed up with Jimmy? I mean, we're sick.
Very, very sick. Next Blitzer, talk to us.
That day in Mobile.
Young Tyrone, optimistic as ever. We're arranging chairs on the Titanic.
To young Tyrone in there. Next Blitzer, you're
last up. One.
Didn't somebody tell Coach Beard that Austin's too woke
to choke.
Oh! Oh! Shut it down! Oh,
start up Monday.
Hey, so let me ask you this, Buck. You know, a lot of your friends are Eagles fans.
Yes, they are.
Do they like the antics of Nick Sirianni on the sidelines for the Eagles?
He is an excited coach.
He's an excitable guy.
I think it's for real, though. I don't think that's a play. I think that's him.
Oh, no, it's genuine.
I'm fine with it.
But you rarely see coaches who are that...
I want to see him cry on the sideline.
Emotional. Because I know Cowboys fans are like, no, I hate that guy. He's a clown.
Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
It's real.
If it's real, that's fine.
You got to know in Philadelphia, they love it. Sirianni, come on, man.
Or he does go a little nuts.
He's pretty excitable. Yeah, he's a goofball. He's up and down. I mean, you're not going to see other coaches high-stepping up and down the sideline.
Yeah, I don't see Mike McCarthy doing that kind of stuff, no.
Andy Reid?
No.
Oh, I can't wait to see them lose this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Well, so now you're on Purdy and the Niners. You were killing them last week.
I got to be.
He's got to be now. He's got to be on Purdy.
You think I'm going to root for the Eagles?
Oh, we'll be back. I love it. Cowboy fans. Disappointing end, but familiar at the